some things that God has impressed upon my heart. In verse number one, it says, "And Israel took his journey with all that he had and came to Beersheba and offered sacrifices unto God of his father Isaac. And God spake unto Israel in the vision of the night and said, Jacob, Jacob. And he said, Here am I. And he said, I am God, the God of thy father. Fear not to go down into Egypt, for I will there make of thee a great nation. I will go down with thee into Egypt, and I will also surely bring thee up again. And Joseph shall put his hand upon thy eyes. And Jacob rose up from Beersheba, and the sons of Israel carried Jacob, their father, and their little ones, and their wives, and their wagons, which Pharaoh had sent to carry him. And they took their cattle and their goods, which they had gotten in the land of Canaan, and came into Egypt, Jacob and all his seed." Tonight, this morning, we shared an area that was a blessing to me about how God uses transitions in our lives.
Amen.
And God uses vehicles as a tool in the transition of our lives. Mm-hmm. And one of the vehicles that God uses as a tool in our lives is the Word of God.
Yes, sir.
That's what's going to make a difference in our lives. And I shared with you all about not only the vehicle of the wagon that Joseph had given to his father to help him to see that this is something that God wanted him to do, because he was faced with making a decision. Because I believe in his life, and not only in Jacob's life, but in Joseph's life, and even in the nation of Israel, it was a time of transitioning, because God was doing something in their lives. And I wanted you this morning to think back through your own life, the transitions that have taken place in your life, and how God uses that. And he used the Word of God when he brought me to the salvation of my soul.
Amen.
He allowed me through a transition in my life that brought me into a greater relationship with my Father. And because of that transition of power and position and opportunity to share the gospel with my father, he was willing to listen to what I said. But in order for him to listen, I had to be giving him the right thing. And that was the Word of God, which made a difference in his life. And when Joseph spoke to his brothers to send them to be a witness to their father to carry the message that he was alive. And because Jesus is alive today, we have a message to carry to a lost and dying world. I want to share with you tonight again, and we're going to pick it up. So just trying to give you a little background of where we were this morning. But I wanted you to notice also the vineyard that God uses in the time of transition.
Amen.
The vineyard that God uses in the time of transition. Father, bless now, I pray in the name of Jesus that you would empty myself. Fill me with your spirit that you might speak, thus saith the Lord. And your people that are here this night upon the sound of my voice may be challenged, Lord, and convinced and convicted about how you use things in our lives when we're going through some transitions, because they were important to you. But we need to keep our eyes on you, and we will seek you out to make sure that we're doing the right things. Bless now, I pray, in Jesus' name, for his sake. Amen.
Amen.
You may be seated. I want to preface this tonight. I know that we're going to have fellowship afterward. I've been reminded of that.
Amen.
But the thing that I like us to see tonight, when we think about the vehicle that God uses, and the vehicle that God uses in our life and transitions that happen in our lives, he uses the Word of God, but God also uses something else that's very needful, and that is the right vineyard.
Amen.
In our life. I want you to think about, here's Jacob. And when we say transition, because we know that we said this morning, out of what Jacob was facing with making a decision in his life, it was a time of transition, because when the transition is taking place here, Jacob's decision was going to affect the nation of Israel, because God was going to send them down into Egypt. And through his family, he done wrapped up everything lock, stock, and barrel. He was faced with making the decision of taking his family down into Egypt, because there God had promised him that he was going to make them a great nation. And a great nation came out of this decision that Jacob made. But the vineyard that Jacob made after he saw the wagons that he came, when we think about vehicles, the vehicle of the word of God and the vehicle of the wagons gave Jacob the encouragement that he needed to go down because Joseph had sent for him. And it's the same thing that God is saying to us. I go to prepare a place for you. I want you to, I'll come again and receive you to myself, that where I am, there you may be also. It's just like we going to heaven, as he was going to heaven to be with his father in a relationship that was brought about with his son. And when we say the transition of life, and I think about my own dad, as I shared with you all this morning, the vehicle that brought my dad to believe that what he had seen had never seen in my life, when I had the testimony before him, and it all had to do with a car.
Yes, sir.
And my dad saw something different in my life because of a vehicle. And that vehicle, I believe, set an opportunity for me to share the gospel and see my dad get saved. And that was a transition in his life. He was faced with a decision. You know, many of us, as I said this morning, I'm trying to get it back on track here, is that when you were faced with decisions, most of us may never have to talk to our father about spiritual things. Because a lot of you may have been raised in a home where you had a father that was a Christian. I wasn't raised in a home and had a father as a Christian. As I said this morning, my dad was a sharecropper. I grew up in sharecropper atmosphere. And that car that I bought, or that car that I didn't buy, it gave me an opportunity to be a testimony before my father, but it also gave me an opportunity to be a testimony to a guy that when we went into what we call segregation, me and him had some words. And here it was, I'm faced with giving him back a car that I believe that God would not have me to buy, and it impressed his heart, not because of me, but because he believed that I believed that God would not have me to buy it, and it helped us in this situation. So that's where we are. But when I think about the vehicle and as a way that God uses in transition, but the vineyard we're talking about tonight is what Jacob did.
Yes.
You know, sometimes we can make decisions in our life, but you never make a decision and it all seems good and it sounds good, but you still want to be sure that this is what God wants you to do.
Amen.
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 So think about it now. Here's Jacob. He's going to a place called, going here to Egypt. And on the way there, he comes to Beersheba. Do y'all know what the history is behind the place of where Beersheba was? It was about the last stop that he could make before he could go into Egypt. And he wanted to be sure that this was what God wanted him to do.
Yep.
You know, there's nothing wrong with wanting to be sure of what God wants you to do. And I promised Brother Serge I was going to tell y'all about this vehicle. Let me tell you what happened because we didn't buy this vehicle. Because when we make the right decision and we seek out God and we do what we believe that God wants us to do, God will show us when we do it his way, we're doing the right thing.
Amen, Pastor.
Y'all would not believe it, but I'm going to tell you the truth. Teresa and I went back to Germany, didn't buy that car, drove up to the post office where we go when you're overseas. They call it APO. You go to the APO box, pick up your mail. Huh? The bank. Well, let's get to the bank first. Got to the post office because remember, it was at the post office. When we pulled up to get the mail, there was a guy who pulled up in that red Volkswagen. And I just got out to go get the mail, and I said, you want to sell that car? He said, you know what? I'm thinking about selling that car. You know what? I said, I want to buy that car. We go over to the bank, and we buy that car. Because we didn't do what God would have us not do.
That's right, Pastor.
We did what God would have us do. And that's not to purchase that one. But when we got to Germany, there it was.
Wow.
We didn't have to pay for shipping it. It was already there.
Amen.
It was like it came in the mail as we picked up the mail. Amen?
Amen.
So I want you to think about it tonight. Here is Jacob, and he wants to make sure that God wants him to go down into where? Egypt. And as we pick it up, I'm going to try to stay on note tune so we can get through this and make sure that we do it right, because it deserves all the justice in the world. When you think about the vineyard here that he's going into, Israel was taking this journey and he came to a place where he knew he needed to get be sure that God wanted him to go down into Egypt. Notice, first of all, when we're talking about him going, in verse number one, it tells us that he came to Beersheba and offered sacrifices unto the God of his father Isaac. You know what it tells me? The vineyard that God uses when we need to make right decisions is like going to the house of God.
Amen.
To worship God the right way. See, he stopped at a place, just like when you and I need to make right decisions, we want God's directions. We want to be sure where we are doing what God would have us to do. You know the vineyard that God gives us that we can come and be assured that we're doing the right thing?
Yep.
Is the house of God.
Amen.
It is the house of God. And he came to this place and he wanted to make sure that this is what God would have him to do. And I believe a lot of times as Christians, we may not always hear, all of us hear a message and we hear different things. But if we have a desire to hear from God, God will allow us to hear what we need to hear. And all of this message predicated on when Teresa and I went to Cleveland, and I wanted to hear from God because I wanted to be sure that this is where God wanted my baby to be. And it was through this message that the pastor preached from this passage that it gave me the confidence that this is where God wanted her to be. And it was in the house of God. It was where I was. And the house of God is the vineyard that God uses when we need to hear from him. And if we come to the house of God, we can hear from God, because the word of God ought to be preached in the house of God. And it'll verify and it'll validate what it is that God wants you to do. There's no greater place that you could go and get what you need from God is to hear from him. And that was the whole purpose of what Jacob was doing. The purpose was to worship God. But you know what? When you make a decision, let me say this tonight, you don't want to leave God out.
Amen.
And Jacob didn't want to leave God out, because he knew his forefathers. One went down to Egypt and he made a mistake. One went down to Egypt and God told him not to go into Egypt. Yep. One went down to Egypt and lied, and he didn't have to lie, because if you believe that this is what God would have you to do, you ought not have to lie to nobody about it.
That's right, Pastor.
Because God wants you to know, when you do what I ask you to do, the way that I would have you to do it, I'm going to bless you. That little red card was there because we didn't do what we knew that God wouldn't want us to do. We went right back home, and there it was, right where God would have us to be. Because we shouldn't leave God out in any decision that we're going to make. Many of us leave God out in decisions that we make. And what you do is, and we've heard it this weekend, when you leave God out, you don't allow God to work in your midst, because you're trying to do it yourself. And you make more mistakes and you make more blundering decisions that you got to live for, live with, because you don't allow God to be in the decision that you're making. And nobody else would understand that but you. And nobody else would understand that I'm sitting in an auditorium, about 500 people in there, and I heard God speak to my soul, because I asked him before I went there, God, I need to hear from you today, because I only got one shot to take my daughter to a church that I believe that this is where God would have her to be, but it has to be her desire. But I want to be sure that I did what I needed to do as a father to make sure that I was trying to steer her in the right direction. And I wanted the direction to come from God. I didn't want to make a mistake with it. Do you understand what I'm saying tonight?
Yes, sir.
Because that's what God does. And that's how God works. And no matter what happens to her, I was trying to explain to her, this is a transition in your life. And whatever God does with you here in Cleveland, I pray that God do, and God protect her, watch over her, because I can't do it, but I believe that God can. I believe that God can. I want you to notice, when you do what God tells you to do, notice the eyes in this passage, because I would do it. The devil wants to do it, but God says he would do it. Notice here in this vineyard here that Isaac goes to, and the things that God assures him, this is what I want you to do. And I can tell you what, folks, you can't get no greater assurance of what God would have you to do when you think about what happened here in this passage of scripture. You know, here in this passage, think about it here. the person in this vision that was speaking to Isaac. He says in verse number two, and God spake unto Isaac in the vision of the night and said unto Jacob, Jacob, and he said, here am I. And he says, I am God, the God of thy father. Fear not to go down into Egypt, for I will there make of thee a great nation. So he wanted him to know it's just not any God, but it is your God. I'm God. I'm the God of your father. I'm the one that led them, and I'm the one that's going to take care of you. I'm the one that's going to provide for you. Jacob wanted to get off on the right foot, and God was showing him that I'm leading and working in this situation. But notice not only the person, but notice the permission. The permission in this vision. Fear not to go down into Egypt. Fear not. This is a big concern for Jacob. Fear not. Going into Egypt was a reminder to him of the trouble that Abraham had. It was also a reminder of him of the famine that was there. If you go back and read it, we won't go for the sake of time, in Genesis chapter 12. And it's amazing to me, in both chapters, chapter 12 and chapter 26, there was a famine in the land in both of these situations. But they may not have sought God, but Jacob wanted to. Jacob wanted to be sure he was doing the right thing. So he sought God through the sacrifices, and God answered and assured him that he was doing the right thing by giving him permission to pursue this transition or this migration to take his family into Egypt. You know, it shows me something else. What the decisions that we make in life don't just affect us.
Amen, Pastor.
The decision that Jacob was facing was going to affect his entire family. As a matter of fact, not only entire his family, but it was going to affect an entire nation. And he went to the right place. He went to the right source. And God gave him permission. But God not only gave him permission, but God gave him a promise. I like what Isaiah 55 and verse 6 says this. And it says, seek ye the Lord while he may be found. Call upon him while he is near. Let the wicked forsake his way and the righteous his thought. And let him return unto the Lord. We got to seek God while he is near. And I believe God was near unto Jacob because he sought after God in the right place, at the right time, with the right heart, with the right desire. He wanted to hear from God, and God answered his prayer. I believe we can hold to that same fact tonight. If we have a desire to want to know what God's will is for our life, if we ask him and you want to know, then ask him, but be willing to do what he would have you to do in the answer that he gave. Because Jacob wanted to be sure. He gave him permission, but he also gave him some great promises. Fear not. One of the most troubling things for a father, if he loves his children, and I'm sure all of you that have children, you love your children, you want God's best for them. And there's a fear in our hearts for our children when we have to turn them over into a world that doesn't love God and all the things that they're going to face. And you know what? We can't be there 24/7 to look after them, but you know what? God can. God surely can. And he's the avenue. He's the vehicle. He's the vineyard. He's the person that can do more than you and I could ever do for our children. We can love them to death, but we can't protect them the way that God can protect them if we give them to him and put them in his hands. He can do way more for your children than you and I ever could. This vision was so important to Jacob. And I tell you what, God, I left that day, and Teresa and I flew back from Cleveland. My fears were relieved. You know, anything could happen to her, as Teresa and I was talking about it today. But you know what? I'd rather put my faith in God.
Amen.
Because he's been faithful throughout all these years, that he has taken care of them to this far. And they've been many miles away from us, but I wouldn't trust anybody any greater than my God to do what needs to be done, because they're his children. They were just on me for loan to raise and try to do the best that I could as a father. And like I said earlier, I spend every dime I have to take care of my children because they're mine. God has blessed me to be able to do that in many facets and many forms because I love my children. And I want to do that. As long as they're living for God and they putting God first, they got my blessings. But when they stop and want to get away from that, just like God wouldn't bless in my life if I'm not doing what he would have me to do. And I shouldn't be upset with God when I don't do what he asked me to do. There are many Christians today are angry and have a vindictive against God in the house of God because they want to live in sin and not do what God would have them to do. And then you blame God for the decisions that you make. But you never ask him what you should do in the decisions you make. You made them on your own and then you're mad with God.
Yes, sir.
But when you trust him, and whatever the results is, and just like we said about, he said about Esther, if I perish, I perish. But you know what? I'm going to trust God.
Amen.
I like that. So I didn't have any fear. We could leave in that on that note. He says, I don't fear to go down to Egypt, for I will make of thee a great nation. God gives some great promises here. And another promise that God gave here was to them, it was for the promise of us prosperity. I will make thee a great nation. Egypt, Jacob's family would not be swallowed up in another people or disappear, but would become a great nation of people. That was the promise that God was giving to him. Don't be afraid to go down into Egypt because I'm going to go with you. Not only did we see the promise of prosperity, but we see him giving him the promise of his presence. I don't know any greater joy that you could ever have in your life to know that God is with you no matter wherever you go. When I walked up to that house, about that car we was talking about this morning, all of them men standing out there in the yard with shotguns, and you got two black men walk up to the house, and we looking and kind of like, okay. But you know what? I didn't fear that. Because I still believe I was where God would have me to be.
Yep.
And I made a decision that I believe that God would have me to make. I'm not saying I'm going to do something crazy and stupid without seeking God's will, first of all. That's not what I'm saying. But you ought not live in fear of what can happen. You know what? Anything can happen in your life to take you out of this world. And I pray to God that you're ready to leave this world. But we can't live in fear because the world does not want to live for God. We got to still live for God because God wants us to be a testimony to a lost and dying world. He said the promise of prosperity, but he also promised his presence. I will never leave thee nor forsake thee. I can go wherever I need to be where God would have me to be because he said I will never leave thee nor forsake thee. And the presence of God ought to be what you would hold on to no matter where you go because wherever you go, he's going to go with you. He's going to go with you. So we see the promise of prosperity. We see the promise of his presence. But notice also the promise of this in this prophecy. I will also surely bring thee up out of here again. Boy, that's some good stuff.
Amen, Pastor.
You know, my daughter is there. She signed a 3-year contract. And I believe with all my heart, whether she stays there or whether she leaves, that God's going to keep her safe and he's going to bring her up out of there.
Amen.
If it be his will. But if she stays there, I pray that she'll be in God's will. And if she decides to leave, he'll bring her up out of there. That was the promise that God, I felt God gave me in my heart when we were sitting there in that church.
Mm-hmm.
But I want you to notice something else that he gave him a promise of. He gave him the promise that is dear to me. And I'm going to close it with this example. He gave him the promise of this prospect. Look at something here in this verse. I want you to read it with me. Look at the lateral part of this verse. And it says, I will go with thee. I will go down, verse 4, with thee into Egypt. And I will also surely bring thee up again. And Joseph shall put his hand upon thine eyes. You know, in that time, Jacob knew that he was going to die.
Mm-hmm.
And God has given Jacob a promise that in people in their culture, it was something special to be near a loved one and close their eyes when they pass away. I remember another trip that Teresa and I took.
Mm-hmm.
We were down in Pensacola, Florida. Got a phone call. You need to probably come home. Your dad is probably not going to make it. We've revived him once. Well, we don't know how much longer he's going to live. We got in the car. We drove to North Carolina that Monday, the Labor Day weekend. We get to the hospital about 10, 11 o'clock at night. I said, I'm going to see my father. Teresa waited in the lobby. I go up to my dad's room up on, I think it was up on like the third or fourth floor, the third floor. My dad is on a respirator. And all I could see was my dad's chest raising with every bit of the oxygen that was going into him and out of him through the respirator. I looked at my dad. You know, when you see your dad and what you used to seeing as a strong, vibrant man, but you see him in the hour when he can do nothing for himself, it's hard. But the greatest joy that I ever had was to be there when my father slipped off into glory.
Amen.
I may not physically close his eyes, but I was there when they told me that my father had passed away. And Teresa and I left that night. We got a call later on the next day. You probably want to get up here. He's not going to make it much longer. And before we could get there, my dad had slipped off into glory. See, that vehicle that God uses had brought something in my life I could never have had if it hadn't been the transition that took place in my life, first of all, of knowing Christ as my Savior. And to share with my dad the plan of salvation, how he could know Christ as his Savior. And that was the greatest joy. I could look at him and look at he had passed away. I just sit there. Maybe it was an empty shell that I'm looking at because I knew that he was in heaven. But the greatest joy was to still sense the presence of God in the room because of the promise that he gave to me that if my dad was to leave this world, that he would be in heaven. And I can witness to that because I heard him pray the prayer of salvation. That is the greatest joy I had. And when you seek God for the comfort that you need in this world, God would bring it back threefold. It may be something you have to deal with, but the promises of God are always good. I don't care what happens. I'm going to see my dad in heaven one day, according to the gospel. And you know, not only did that happen, when we say the decisions and the choices that we make not only affect our family, but it affects a nation. And so we get in the car and we back out to go to the hotel we were in. And Teresa said, wow, Buck's gone because I called my dad Buck. That's what she called my dad, Buck. Who's going to preach his funeral? I said, I am. She said, how are you going to do that? Because I believe that's what God would have me to do. Because I wanted my dad's life because of his testimony that he had of knowing Christ to affect my family in such a way that just like Jacob's decision affected his family. Joseph's decision in the transition of his life was there because God was bringing a great deliverance to a people. God brought a great deliverance to a people in a little small town called Harrisville, North Carolina. Mm-hmm. I preached my dad's funeral, and I a lot about it. I couldn't tell you all that happened, but I know this. When it was all said and done, and I preached his funeral, I believe there was at least 10 to 12 people that prayed the prayer of salvation and asked Jesus into their heart because of the death of my father. That would have never happened if it had not been for the vehicle and the transition of life. That would not happen if it was not for the venue in the transition of life, because it was in the house of God where people heard the word of God.
Amen.
And they made a decision to trust the God of heaven for all eternity. I don't know their hearts. I don't even know all of the people that was there. You know what? I don't even know if Nate was there. But I do know this, that God was there.
Amen.
And it was in the house of God. That is where God works the best, is in the transition of life when we're going through things in our lives. God is always at work. And if you want God to work in your life, one of the places you ought to be is in the house of God.
Amen.
That's the venue that God has set in place when we're facing things in life that we can come in and get what we need from the word of God.
Amen.
That's preached in the house of God.
Mm-hmm.
And Jacob went down into Egypt because he had some promises from God. What a tremendous area of scripture.
Amen.
Because life brings transitions. And you ought to know where the transition, first of all, of where the salvation of your soul took place. And if you're not sure where that transition is, you ought to decide tonight that that's going to be the first step that I take. And whatever other transitions that transpire through that one, God will make use of it.
Amen, Pastor.
But he can't use you if you're not his. You can't claim heaven as your home if you never accepted Christ as your Savior. I didn't have the blessed assurance of my Father being in heaven until he accepted Christ as heaven. I could pray to them black and blue, but I know and I believe with all of my heart that God said his word will never return unto him void. I took the word of God and shared it with my dad, and I'm just as sure as I am tonight that God honors his word because he said it will never return unto him void.
Amen.
See, life has transitions. Vehicles are used, but the vineyard is used as well. What about you tonight? What about you?
Amen.
When you're faced with making decisions, who are you going to turn to? It ought to be God. Jacob wanted to be sure. And God gave him the assurance. And you know what? When he said he offered an offering, he offered an offering of sacrifice. Aren't you glad we don't have to sacrifice
Amen.
Goats and bulls and cows and calves?
Amen, Pastor.
You know the salvation and the sacrifice for our soul has already been given.
Amen.
And it's in Jesus Christ. It's in Jesus Christ. God has already did what needed to be done. And when we accept Christ as Savior, that's when the vision came. The vision came after he made the sacrifice. The vision and the direction from God comes when we trust Christ as Savior. Now God is obligated. He has no obligation to you if you're not his child.
That's right, Pastor.
Really, he doesn't. He really doesn't. Well, what about you tonight? Are you a child of God? Are you his child? Who you trusting in? What you trusting in? Have you been to the right vineyard? Are you been seeing the right vehicle? Man, what a tremendous thought this tonight. That's how God works. That's how God works.
Yes, sir, Pastor.
He gave me what I needed, and he'll give you exactly what you need. What about you tonight? Heads bowed and eyes are closed. Father, thank you again for tonight. God, thank you for this message and just settling some tremendous thoughts in my heart and life. And I pray tonight, Lord, that the message that spoke to hearts tonight as well. Let's all stand at our feet, heads bowed and eyes are closed. No one looking around but me. We're going to ask the pianist to play. And the first thing I'm going to ask you here tonight as the music begins to play, if you're here tonight and you don't know Christ as your Savior, would you just slip your hand up right where you are? I won't embarrass you. I won't come to you. That's not my desire. But I do want to pray for you. You know, God is the answer to every need and every problem that we have. We're going to face many trials. We're going to face many things in our lives. But the vineyard that God uses, it's where you are tonight, is the house of God, where his word should come forth in power and in truth and speak to our lives about every need that we have. Because God can take the word of God and meet the needs of every soul that has need. And every one of us is here tonight have a need. Or maybe yours, first of all, may be trusting Christ as Savior. Maybe you're here tonight and God has spoken in your heart about something that you need to do. There's an old-fashioned altar that you can come and deal with God about whatever that matter may be. And I pray tonight that we would understand how God works. God used the vehicle, which we said was the Word of God. God used the vineyard of his house to solidify the decision that Jacob was faced with. What about you tonight? Are you faced with some decisions in your life? God gave him a lot of promises, but there's no greater promise than to know that the presence of God, prosperity that would take place in our lives. And then sometimes God has been able to give us a prophecy of what was going to happen in our lives. But the greatest joy you could ever have is to know that you have loved ones, you have friends, you have family that are in heaven because of their relationship with God. But if you're here without Christ, you never see them again. But if you are here with Christ, that hope is still there. And we all have that to look forward to. We're going to just allow our pianist to play just a little, another stanza, and we're going to close tonight. Father, thank you again for tonight. Lord, we thank you for the privilege that we had to be in your house. And God, I don't take it lightly to stand in your stead. And I pray tonight that the message that you laid on my heart was a blessing to your people. God, I know that this area and passage of scriptures has been a blessing in my life. And the promises that you gave to Jacob, they can be real in our hearts and soul tonight. Because the same God that worked in his life will work in mine. And I thank you for it. And I pray that each one of us leave here tonight knowing that when we're faced with the decisions to make in our lives, there's no greater joy to have than to know that you give us your presence, you give us your promises, and you give us prosperity when we put our faith and trust in you. And it only comes because of our relationship with you. Blessed now, I pray. As we go over to the fellowship area, we thank you for the new members that we have coming into our midst. We thank you that we can have food and have fellowship. I pray you bless in a special way. We thank you for the visitors of having the Wilbers with us here tonight. And God, I pray you continue to work and bless in their lives as well. We love you and praise you and ask these things now in Jesus' name and for his sake. Amen. Y'all may be seated.